Welcome to Physics and Religion, a series of podcasts exploring the interaction between modern science and traditional religion, mostly Christianity. I am your host, Dr. Albert Stets. We have been discussing problems with physicalism, this notion that everything is physical. I told you about zombies and explained the inverted spectrum argument. This brings us to what many people regard as the central problem of consciousness, the problem of qualia. Qualia are primary sense experiences, phenomenal experiences, the philosophers would say. Things like redness, pain, itching, the smell of an onion, the sound of a violin, or the touch of a caress. Incidentally, if you're not familiar with this word, qualia is a plural noun. It can also be pronounced qualia. The singular is qual or quail. A famous thought experiment highlights the problem. It's called the problem of black and white Mary. Mary was a normal child in all respects, except that there was something defective in her visual apparatus so that she had no color vision. I don't know, perhaps her cone photoreceptors were not hooked up correctly. During her deprived childhood, she became an expert in neuroscience. In particular, she learned all about color vision. She knew all about the photoreceptors and ganglion cells. She was an expert in matters pertaining to the lateral geniculate nucleus and the primary visual cortex, but she never actually saw color. Eventually, a surgical procedure was developed that repaired her defective vision. When she awoke from the surgery, for the first time in her life, she saw red. Nothing she could ever have learned could have prepared her for this experience. The experience of red simply could not be explained in purely physical terms. The same argument could be made, of course, for any of the other qualia I mentioned above. Bats pose a similar problem. Bats can see, but since they spend part of their lives in dark caves, they have become expert in echolocation. They see not with reflected light as we do, but with reflected sound. But there is something about them that is still more remarkable. Mother bats raise their babies in dark caves with as many as a million other bats. But when mommy bat returns from a hunting trip with food for her offspring, she can find them immediately by the sound of their cries in a cave with a million other screaming bats. So the most famous and most influential question in the study of consciousness was raised by Thomas Nagel years ago. What is it like to be a bat? To which I would add, and how could we possibly know? Then there is the problem of the self. I have a clear memory of standing up in my crib when I was an infant. I have learned a lot since then, and I am dragging around a big clumsy body. I suppose that every atom in my body has been replaced several times, and yet it's still me. I am the same person I was then. It is as if I had changed clothes over and over. I might have played different roles depending on the clothes I was wearing, but the person inside the clothes has always been the same. Where in your brain, in what neurological structure, is your personal identity located? Then there is the binding problem. At this moment, I am looking at the computer. I hear the cat howling for some reason. I feel the touch of the keyboard, and I feel a vague itching in my scalp. I have no sense of smell, but if I did, I would probably smell the last of dinner in the air. All these elements of sense data are processed in different areas of the brain, and yet they are presented to my awareness as one unified experience. It is as if there were a central control room where all these sights and sensations were synchronized. If there is such a thing, we have no idea where it is or how it works. The final problem is called the explanatory gap. Let me put it this way. I challenge you to come up with a wrong theory to explain consciousness. come on now, it shouldn't be too hard. You don't have to come up with the right theory. There should be an infinite number of wrong theories for every correct one. But whenever I try to do this, I find myself standing helplessly on the edge of this gap. I want to use grammar to explain the problem, but unfortunately, English grammar is defective in one important respect, as you will see. In English, we say, I am going, or you are going, or it is going. Am, are, and is are the first, second, and third person singular forms of the verb to be. The problem is that science works exclusively in the third person perspective. It deals with things that can be studied, results that can be intersubjectively verified. The objects of scientific investigation can properly be called its. Consciousness, on the other hand, can only be experienced from the inside, if you like. Only you have access to your own consciousness. It can only be sensed from the I perspective. This is the explanatory gap, and it's hard to see how it could ever be bridged. Except, just for fun, the French have another verb form that is missing in English. It's called the tu form, as in tu vas. We have to translate this, you are going, but in French, this is the language of love, as in je t'aime, I love you. So the French have it right. The way to bridge the first and third person perspective is with the language of love, but that's not very scientific either. It seems to me that physicalism, as I described it in the opening paragraph, is an untenable position. If so, what are the alternatives? We could simply deny that consciousness exists. This is the position taken by the philosopher Daniel Dennett. This is not widely accepted, and some of the arguments he has had have been quite acrimonious. I don't understand the position, and I won't try to defend it. Alternatively, we could say that we can't understand consciousness, and that's that. It's what philosophers call a brute fact. Physics is full of brute facts. The charge of an electron, the speed of light, Planck's constant, and so forth. These numbers are what they are. We have no idea why. Perhaps the nature of consciousness is just such a fact. This point of view is called mysterianism. There are several variations on this theme, however. It may be that we can't understand consciousness because our brains have simply not evolved to answer such questions. Our brains evolved to help us get food and avoid predators. Understanding consciousness had no survival value. I have a different idea, which might even be original. In the Copenhagen interpretation of quantum mechanics, the concept of a meaningless question looms large. According to this interpretation, physical reality is so constituted that certain questions just don't make sense. This notion will be very prominent when we talk about free will in the next lecture.